Military Mondays with David Katz.
It is 8:46. Major David Katz, apologies. We are slightly late, but it was just so much, it was so interesting talking to Dina Diamond. I don't want to say more interesting because that would be rude, right?
No, absolutely rude, but I enjoyed that. Thank you.
Yeah, you know what? And you know what? You just don't look as good as she does in her dress on the red carpet. I'm sorry, David. That's just how it is. It's just how it is. All right. So let's just talk about Iran, because huge story with the head of their nuclear program being taken out. What does this mean?
Well, it's been an action-packed couple of weeks for Iran, and unfortunately it's moved against them. So one of the issues here is that they had to face the assassination of one of their top nuclear scientists. I see you steered away from pronouncing his name.
Okay, hold on. I've got Nabukle in the studio. She's been practicing. Nabukle, do it for us. Yeah. Do it. Go on.
I did my best.
She just did. I think he said it right. Mohsen Fakhrizadeh.
Exactly. There we go.
There we go. You know what? I should have just asked you to fill in there for that one moment. Well done with that. So, he's been assassinated. Lots of stories about how he was assassinated, who assassinated him. But it adds to a very interesting mix in the area, with a transition period now, with Biden and Trump and all these shenanigans going on during this period to try and gain a little bit of advantage just before Biden comes in.
Yeah, so, no one's taking any responsibility for this, of course, but the reality is that it has to be a combination of, it's either America with Israel as in support, or Israel with America in support.
Oh, certainly. I don't think we're going to even have an argument about that. I would be very surprised if they weren't involved in this whole thing. This is the fifth, by the way, the fifth assassination of Iranian nuclear experts. So the life expectancy, if you're a budding Iranian nuclear expert, is not long. So this must certainly send a message to those involved with the Iranian nuclear program.
So what now? I mean, what do we know about the program? What do we know about the future? Can they continue? Do they become more resolved to prove a point and continue? How's this likely to play out?
Well, let's first look about why this happened. Mm. Who's going to benefit from it? Who's going to lose? And then we can sort of see where Iran lies with retaliation with this whole thing. So why was this done? There's a number of reasons that it could be. First of all, obviously, to stall Iran's nuclear ambitions. So Israel and the United States and a couple of other players in the area have a stake in making sure that Iran doesn't gain the nuclear weapon. So just by assassinating one of the top people on the program certainly sets Iran's nuclear aspirations back quite a bit. But then also, there's the threat now with Joe Biden coming in the next couple of weeks. There's the threat of the revival of this Iran nuclear deal, which the Israelis are totally against. And certainly Trump is against it. And he's been itching to get at Iran now during the last moments of his presidency. So certainly what this does, it impedes diplomacy on the one hand, and impedes Iran's capability on the other hand. So that's the Iranians have to place themselves and see why this was done to them. And then because if they go now and play into the hands of those that perpetrated this against them, they are going to play straight into the hands of the Israelis and the Americans, who are waiting on itching for an opportunity now just before Trump vacates office to get in at the Iranian nuclear infrastructure and perhaps do a strike on it. So they have to be very careful.
That's maybe why they made the comment, the Iranians, that we'll respond at the appropriate time.
No, absolutely, because if they did a knee-jerk reaction now and did whatever in retaliation, they're going to be in a lot of trouble just before Biden comes in. And I think they were holding out a little bit of hope with Biden coming in that they could resuscitate this Iran nuclear deal. And they've been behaving themselves over the last couple of months. This is the second assassination this year, by the way. We had that huge assassination 11 months ago with Qasem Soleimani. So this is the second one, 11 months. And there they were also very restrained, actually, in the retaliation. They did retaliate on that occasion, but they were very restrained and measured.
Mm. Yeah. And so you think that this will be the same type of response here, because they don't necessarily want to, cause a further reaction at a time like this. They would rather wait for Biden before, so as not to risk this.
Well, certainly a plan before all this happened was to wait for Biden to come in, hoping for a more friendly dispensation towards them. And I think this has been a little bit ruined, and this by design. This has thrown a spoke in the wheel, no doubt about that. So there are many factions in Iran also, and there are factions within Iran that say no, they want to retaliate immediately, and because they're absolutely outraged at this. And there are others that are more measured, that see the grand strategical implications of now, just before Biden coming in, going to do a massive retaliation somewhere, which is just not going to work for them. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's a lot of rhetoric and they threaten a lot of things, but nothing happens.
What's also interesting to me is the EU have come out and condemned this, which is understandable, I guess. But there doesn't seem to be a clear approach in how to deal with these assassinations, because that's obviously what this was. Here's a guy who was head of the nuclear program, clearly designed to kill people. Taking him out potentially saves many lives. But it's never that simple, is it?
No, of course not. I think we had a very interesting session not so long ago about targeted assassinations, about all the implications behind them. And certainly there's a lot of thought that has to go into it before you do this type of thing. I mean, it's people are just naturally it's a naturally abhorrent thing to go out and do a targeted assassination, sort of just not, you know, the British way of doing things. And yeah, the EU is going to come out because the EU has a vested interest in the Iran nuclear deal. And the United States has taken a back seat in leadership in this area. So, you know, you don't have that coalition now anymore between the United States and Europe coming in with a combined type of reaction to this thing. So with Biden coming in, most probably those links back with NATO are going to be rebuilt. The links back to Europe are going to be rebuilt. And there will be a coherent policy of the West. Once again, might not be a policy that we all enjoy, but it will be certainly be far more coherent without the Americans going off at a certain tangent.
But what is the? I mean, is there international law around these types of assassinations? You know, is there something that governs them?
Absolutely, there is. Yeah. Yeah, there's unless there's an immediate. I think we discussed this, and I need to dig deep into my memory banks about what we discussed. But I remember unless there's an immediate threat or danger to life, then it's frowned upon a targeted assassination. So there has to be some immediacy.
When Soleimani was killed, we did speak about the fact that there was an imminent threat there. Here, we're not privy to that information. We don't know if there is or if there isn't.
But there's a concerted effort behind the scenes to degrade. And understandably so, to degrade Iran's nuclear capability. I mean, this is not the first assassination. As I've said, there's been 5 assassinations. But not only that, I mean, there's been attacks on the nuclear capability for the last decade or so. Certainly, you know, there's moves against it.
Yeah. So, but yet we do know that ultimately it does have the ability to save lives.
No, certainly. I don't think there are too many people out there who look forward to an Iran with a nuclear capability. I mean, we've seen what North Korea is all about with a nuclear capability. It certainly puts you in a position where you can negotiate with the superpowers. I mean, we've seen how America's dealt with North Korea. And they're very, very cautious. I mean, once you're holding nuclear weapons, you've got a lot of power. And we see how the rest of the world deals with Russia and China and those, and even Pakistan, those powers that possess nuclear weapons. they are dealt differently. And certainly Iran wants to get this capability so that they too are dealt with differently. So not too many people out there would like to see Iran holding nuclear weapons. Certainly not Israel. I mean, that would be a direct threat to the existence of Israel.
So is this good for the stability, or does it destabilize the region further?
Well, I think the region's in a lot of state of flux, which is another thing that's happened over the last couple of weeks. I mean, Iran is definitely feeling the pinch in the area with the peace deal now between Azerbaijan and Armenia. That also puts Iran in a weaker position vis-a-vis Turkey, Russia, and the area in general. This is not a peace agreement that works for Iran. So Iran is feeling increasingly surrounded. There are moves afoot now for a peace deal between Saudi Arabia and Israel. So that's another little piece of the puzzle that's going to go in. So certainly Iran, besides the fact of Biden coming in, which was a ray of light, is feeling that they are under siege, increasingly so, and they are losing their hegemony in the area to nations such as Turkey. The resurgence of Russia in the area. The Iranians are in quite a bit of trouble at this stage.
Yeah, and will be fascinating to see how this plays out. It is 8:57. Major David Katz, thank you as always. I'd love